many different locations, correct?
I can pull it up on my phone right now.
Yeah.
So essential for all of our public utilities, but also very important to every sector in industry in the state of Alaska and beyond, right? Like
Yeah.
it's the mining, it's the oil and gas, it's the seafood processors,
Yeah.
at Silver Bay and Trident. Trident's got data, guarantee it's schools, hospitals. I know Carly Allen's in the back. So there's an application for all of them. This is a common one I point to because it's all right there. Very dumbed down and kind of antiquated, but this is SEPA's. So this is our hydro provider's SCADA system. It shows every different piece of the utility. It shows Wrangell's four feeder systems. It shows the Tidy Lake level. It shows the Swan Lake level. It shows how much the community is drawing currently right now, which is 4.47 megawatts, which isn't very much, right? Because it's warm out and well, it's getting warmer. We're getting into springtime. But this is all in real time. So you can log into this at any time. But more importantly, for decision makers and operators, this is essential to operating and functioning utility to a high degree and be able to react to certain scenarios. You can in their software, right? You can customize the software to indicate when something may be going wrong. So you can address the issue in real time. You don't have to boil water notice. You don't have any downstream impacts, right? You can catch things. It also is just good information to have for operational adjustments and tweaks. So I wanted to point that out so everybody has a good idea of what SCADA kind of looks like in a really basic way. But what these guys have done with their software is quite exceptional. This is very basic, but in some cases, like the city and borough of Sitka, they've actually done and integrated their software there, where they have this overlaid to a GIS and a kind of a Google Earth kind of setting. So you can see the whole borough of Sitka, and you can zoom in on their water reservoir, and then you can zoom in a little bit more and see all the components and what they're speaking to, kind of create this the whole picture. And then I'm saying this all in layman's terms because Blake is like the garage genius Steve Jobs when he explains things, right? Like that's it's truly like it's amazing. But this comms wall, this PLC is what is communicating to the software, all these different sensors across the utility or the organization. This is the device it speaks through back to the software, and these are something that exists all over. I mean, every single municipality in the state of Alaska has them. Every big commercial or industrial enterprise has them. So I think it's something that's very practical and something we interface with each day, but the public may not see that portion of it. So I wanted to offer that. Now, I think the other thing that's really important to consider is the synergies with the mill site and kind of maybe deferring the data center thing to SEPA or some other communities to consider, but Alaska Marine Lines, it's our intention, it's been my marching orders from the assembly at the cargo transfer facility out there. JAG loves that. They do 1 million pounds of steel already to Ketchikan. So having that neighboring activity right there, all your shipment of goods.
Explain to the public of JAG in case they don't know.
So JAG Marine Group is the new anchor tenant down in Ketchikan. And that's probably where you've heard them the most. It was previously Vigor, but a premier shipyard owner and operator across the United States. They have shipyards in Virginia, Michigan, Washington, California, where they lease, and then they have Ketchikan and Seward here in Alaska. So we have been working, and part of our EDA grant that many of you guys have been following to build a state-of-the-art shipyard for the state. This would be the biggest shipyard in the state of Alaska to take care of predominantly Coast Guard repair and maintenance activities, along with the commercial fleet. Trawlers, barges, those types of things. But there is huge, there's a backlog, tens of billions of dollars in maintenance. And now that the Coast Guard's building up, they got $25 billion to do Arctic security cutters out of the one big beautiful bill. There's it needs to be more maintenance facilities. The US has eight shipyards that can build a commercial vessel, right? China does 1,000 commercial vessels in a year. And I think we did three last year in the United States, right? So there's a huge gap we need to bridge. And JAG Marine Group has risen to the forefront. They've tripled their contract volume down in Ketchikan. Their team is like this team, they're go-getters. They're all brilliant. They do what they say what they do. And so this represents 150 job opportunity, right? They're bringing 100 more jobs into Ketchikan just this next year. So it's real blue-collar work that's actually happening. So that's our goal with the mill site is that they would be doing all those repair and maintenance activities. And it'd be complementary to Ketchikan because the market exceeds what Alaska is able to provide. So we lose about 60% of the market to Washington and California, which their yard capacity is decreasing. Because if you haven't noticed, Seattle doesn't exactly like some of the environmental considerations with shipyards. California just closed down Mayor Island not too long ago. That was a Vigor-owned shipyard, or operated shipyard. And so tying that back into these guys, right? You know, and Samson shipping 1 million pounds of steel for Jag Marine right there. These would be a big demand as a manufacturing company, source components coming in, finished product going out in the export fashion. And then you have your scrap metal operation on the other side. So I think in terms of site synergy, there's a lot of things that work well together. But I'm actually going to call on Raja over here because he's coming from the fishing background and the seafood processing. Raja, kind of talk about your side project and how you think this could relate to what we're doing with JAG and other members of the seafood industry.
Yeah, thank you for that, Mason. So when I joined the structure, you know, I immediately saw the potential as being an end user of SCADA systems for a long time and seeing the limitations that it has, so to speak. When I joined the structure, I saw there's huge potential across many industries. And one idea that I have that is going to be sort of a side project, critical infrastructure manufacturing is obviously our main, you know, our main target, but I was talking to Blake and I was like, man, I got this really cool idea. I want to do a SCADA vessel package for any size boat. It could be a troller, you know, say a troller's got a freezer on board and, you know, he's up there on deck fishing and maybe he doesn't want to climb down the ladder to go turn on his refrigeration system. So maybe he's got a little SCADA screen on his deck that has his boat there. And then he can just click on it and just open up his refrigeration control, start his compressor, bring down the freezer so he can stay on deck fishing, you know, scale that up to a larger vessel. And this is, I mean, it's unlimited. You know, you think of a tender that has multiple holds, you know, they want to chill down this tank, that tank, and being able to control everything from a screen. This is not a new concept. Those exist. I have a good friend who tenders out of Sitka that did some automation on his boat, and it was a game changer, but it's clunky, you know, and he didn't build it. So, you know, changes, there's not a lot of diversity built into it. With SCADA and with the concepts that they've come up with, it's a lot more versatile and a lot more user-friendly and easier to understand. So scalability all the way up to a large Coast Guard cutter could have a full systems integration with everything from stem to stern. I mean, think of vibration monitoring, maintenance schedules, you know, all the different systems, oil and, you know, engine management, fuel management, all of these things could be baked into one system that, you know, says, hey, engineer, it's time to change the oil on the port side engine, you know? So we can build in maintenance programs. We can build in overall control of systems. And so when we look at, you know, a fish plant, think, you know, high level, okay, seeing the whole view of the fish plant, there's different pages for your, you know, your freezer or your fish tanks, but maybe the whole view. And you can see the whole product flow and the health of your system. And maybe there's a red point. And then you could zoom into that. And what is the red point? Well, now you're looking at what the problem is. And so those are just some of the concepts and ideas that our software can do. And being right, like in proximity to a shipyard is an incredible opportunity for a partnership there.
A good federal contract, military contracts.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what Senator Murkowski brought up when our founders and some of our team met with her 2 weeks ago. She was like, you know, her brain immediately was like DHS, DOD funding opportunities, partnerships, as well as applications directly to bringing them up to Alaska to work with this Alaskan company doing this innovative work in that space.
So, and yeah. Senator Murkowski knows you're talking to Rangel.
Oh, she was very excited. You know, she talked to us for a long time about collecting garnets. it kind of derailed the meeting for a bit. but yeah, she was really excited when we explained the logo to her, how Wrangell has been a core to the vision since our inception. And we told her we were coming up here soon, and she said to send her best.
No, we know it's kind of core to her vision too. So, yep. And Efren worked for Senator Murkowski for over a decade.
Yep.
And that's another thing I would just call it, just the experience of the team that's brought together. A lot of these guys left awesome companies and jobs to bring this off the ground and a half. So, just a credit to everybody they brought to the table. I think it's quite remarkable. I want to pivot a little bit to the MOU just briefly, and then I would open it up to.
Okay. I wanted to mention, though, before that,
sure.
Blake said something that was very endearing to me. He said he wanted the company to be a part of our community, and that involved our school system, and cooperate and integrate with the STEM program that the school currently has.
Yeah.
So that would be a great benefit to our school system.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about the MOU. What's going to happen there?
So the MOU is being proposed tonight under tonight's assembly agenda. And so again, an MOU is a non-binding framework. This is just how we want to model out our partnership together, right? We've done this. The community should be very used to it at this point. We've done them with JAG and AML, and that we're going to do them with Trident here this next month too, which, by the way, Dave, you got to give me that. ACL. I mean, we can go down the list, and it's really been a great way to kind of outline what we want to accomplish together as partners. It's going to speak to lease agreements and professional services agreements and milestones along the way. And so it's been a very productive way for us to facilitate partnerships. And each of those, you know, companies that I just mentioned, we've hit the marks on those, and we're going down the path. So we propose the same thing tonight. And really what the MOU really speaks to is, you know, Wrangell's committed. We already are. Our water treatment plant is a fruits of Blake's work. But we want to showcase this technology for the rest of Alaska, for the lower 48. And kind of be an ambassador of what they are doing. Like I said, we already are. And in return, you know, we want them to establish a manufacturing presence here. So there's going to be, and then, you know, if maybe this thing's tweaked, it's a very broad MOU, but we would expect, you know, to go down the path for a lease agreement for a site. We've got a chance to check that out with Josh and Chad back there in the back of the room today, go to look at the mill site. You know, we want that presence here, and in return, we're gonna you know, continue to use your service and expand that opportunity here in Wrangell, and encourage our peers and other municipalities to be doing it. And they've already done this with City and Borough Sitka, right? Like, so I think that represents a tremendous opportunity, and that's really what's finding this partnership. So that's what, well, I'll speak in more detail at the item tonight, but that's really the exchange in value, is we want you to establish your manufacturing presence here, and in return, we're going to be kind of we're going to showcase your technology, your software, the comms vault when it comes online. And that's really what it's about. But, you know, for the city's interests, we want the manufacturing jobs, right? That's core to the community of Wrangell. And I can understand the community's conversations around the data center is a pretty foreign concept. It doesn't create a lot of jobs. You can make the argument that the money, the proceeds based off of the resource potential is a positive thing to drive down rates. But this is a way better opportunity to use resources organically and establish a great amount of jobs here in Wrangell. So that's really what the MOU speaks to. I don't know, like Kate's worked on it with me as well. So do you have anything that I missed on that you'd like to mention?
No, I think that you laid out the MOU quite well, and just want to reemphasize that, you know, the growth of structure over the last 6 months has been pretty profound from where we spoke to Blake and Jake in September, and it was all very conceptual, to a check-in in January, and then coming back full circle in March, and going from 2 people to 10 people to 20 people working on this project has demonstrated a lot of progress. And as far as our infrastructure goes, whether we're working directly with Structure or AK Automation, Blake Ryder is going to be involved in that overhaul and maintenance of our facilities. So it's something that we are already familiar with. And the community has asked questions about our water treatment infrastructure and what does it really mean to modernize our infrastructure as it relates to this partnership. And we're talking about the controls and the software that helps us manage, maintain, and operate our infrastructure. We're not talking about hardened infrastructure. Of course, the borough is still working to find funding and schedule replacement of our underground infrastructure with our road systems and what have you. But there's still a great need to modernize our controls and the software that speaks between the hardened infrastructure and the operator's ability to control it. So whether, you know, we look at this partnership as something new, it really has been integral to Wrangell's operations across public works and municipal light and power for a long time. So just wanted to emphasize that. And, you know, as far as what Patty said related to the workforce development, you know, youth is a big focus here in our community, and finding ways to build in on-the-job training programs, apprenticeships, and get that, you know, juice flowing for kids and what careers could really look like here in Wrangell is a great thing. And these guys are already in tune to that. I know we've got Brian Ashton in the room who works with our STEM education group, who's been a good liaison between community development, you know, persons and the school system. So we would build that in as the MOU builds a bit more traction. Yeah, I think those are the last few things I would say in the matter for now.
Great, thanks.
And keeping track of our equipment, the engines, the mechanisms is one of the basics in keeping our infrastructure in good repair. Sometimes in the past, the city has been a little lax in doing regular maintenance. And so this will help with that too, keep track of everything. Yes.
I want to add too that, you know, I don't really have an interest in, you know, creating a company that doesn't have jobs, want lots of jobs, but I really do mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want good jobs. No job at Structure is not going to have health care or child care, payroll. And, you know, everyone is going to get overtime. Everyone's going to have a right to overtime. That's just what we're going to do.
And you even mentioned child care services that you would build those in or subsidize for those. Yeah.
Child care is important to us. It's something that I just hear it everywhere it goes. You know, everyone says the same thing. Everyone kids do it. It's stresses them out, or they have to. This is the craziest thing. I don't know if it's the craziest thing is people quit, have their partner quit their job or whatever because they can't get someone to take care of a kid.
Yeah.
And if they have two, you know, I think it outweighs the cost usually, whatever benefit. And, that's what we're going to do. That is what we're about. I feel like you guys share those values.
Yes.
And,
We do. And Wrangell doesn't have the money, or we're too small to diversify our economy on our own. We have to investigate these private-public partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ones that we've established so far will pay off.
I know they will. Yeah.
Yes. And who has questions?
Oh, I would just say I have 8 kids, so you sure you want that?
So it's on our team.
We need kids for our school system.
Mayor Gilbert, I just opened it up to the assembly to ask some pointed questions. There's no dumb questions. It's fairly sophisticated stuff, especially to Wrangell standards. It's kind of foreign to the community in a lot of ways. I know that users like Philip and Trident use SCADA, but I think that it's a good time to ask questions and understand. And then, you know, we ask some questions from the community as well.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I don't have a question, but a statement. I think the opportunity where we're at right now, into why this is so compelling, is that there's, out of the whole, there's a lot of components that, you know, future, I hope, and this would fit very well with those. I think that maybe one of the draws from you guys is the opportunities for shipyard and military some funding here, along with learning for other existing. It's a comprehensive opportunity.
Yep.
Yes. Assembly Member Powers.
Selfish question. Do you guys make guitar pedals? I do have a question. It's the likelihood of you know, this all comes together, Jack comes in, you know, all the shipping, everything's kind of blossomed and doing his thing, of you guys prototyping things in this town, right?
Like, yeah,
it's got to be nonstop, I assume. Do you have vision for that?
Oh yeah, I mean, for example, actually, Comsvault came about with you know, we're trying to think of you know, manufacturing facilities going to be a lot more expensive, and we want to expose people to equipment, software, and we're calling it phase 1.5 with this because you know, we could prototype that in Wrangell perfectly. So you have these radios, right, that you call MDS for steam, these old radios that are falling apart that were telemetry, you guys are paid for that. When I did NODIM over there, I put it on cell, and you know, I don't know if I ever transferred the bill to you, which I got. As these communities add more and more of these sites to sell, for example, they just have to keep paying more. We thought, you know, look, all this equipment's kind of, you know, like falling out of favor. They don't really use this telemetry system anymore. It doesn't work with the newer stuff. And we're thinking, if Peter could, you know, use his genius to put together a comms vault for us, it not only gets us a or an assembly facility first, which is much less expensive, but we could, you know, we could put that everywhere, because yours will fall apart and that is going to be expensive. I just guarantee you that will be very expensive. And we could prototype that, yeah, right out of the gate.
And then long term, we're, you know, the SCADA speaks to the software, speaks to the hardware, which is the programmable logic controllers, right? And we're talking about in the long term, like, you know, creating that here, right? Mm-hmm. That new product that's built in Alaska.
That's the expansion part of it, which keeps going. And was what everybody knows and advice about and keep continually happening.
Yeah, and there's a lot in that, because actually specifically with you guys, you have a lot of Siemens stuff, right? Beth and I are using Alan Bradley. Of course, like all those guys, they don't play nicely, right?
They don't support their product anymore.
Yeah, well, you get all these wires, you can just imagine, hooked up to these terminals, but they work for Siemens. And so now that we're going to Alan Bradley, what do? I don't really work on Siemens stuff so much. But it's really a big replacement, right? You have to, you know, pull it out. I got to rewire it things like that. And I did that at Node 8. And, it was inside, and it was not, and it was outside. So I had to let inside in January, and it was cold, and I rewired it. And that takes a lot of time. It just drives expenses through the roof. We want to do things, for example, we want to make these modular blocks, right? Peter and I've talked about a lot. We're going to make these basically replacement modules that you can just replace without rewiring. And so it will start communicating with the PLC. We could prototype that here. And then all of a sudden you're getting just cutting $20,000 down to a couple thousand. So, but for you guys, obviously, it would just be us prototyping and it would be nothing.
Yeah, but we think the Rango is like the innovation hub for that. This is where that will happen.
That's what I was getting at.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff.
Other questions from the seven at all?
I had tons, though. These poor guys, I quizzed them on everything. Basically, a SCADA system, anything you can measure, which is almost anything, you can embed into the system, correct?
Yes, SCADA is the interface to all things that work. So it's the interface to all industrial, and really it's commercial too. It's just for some reason separated out. That's called HVAC, but it's really the same thing as well.
And the things that that were brought to my mind, of course, was we recently had landslide, you know, and there are systems that can detect movement of the earth or the integrity of our reservoirs. As I told you, they're over 100 years old, and I worry about that. We could have sensors embedded in those situations and keep track of that. As an early warning system as such. So there's just so many applications. I was even thinking about using AI. That's why I asked you if you use AI at all with our secondary disinfection of our sewage water before we release it to the big water out there, and see if we could detect E. coli concentrations and things of that sort. I know that there's a method to do that. Have you done anything biologically?
Yeah, I do a lot of wastewater.
So, okay.
Yeah, I do tons of wastewater.
Okay.
And bread and butter, really.
Should I have seen that first?
Yeah, you probably have a better idea than I do, but that's good.
Yeah, I mean, anything with a sensor, you can pull in here, and then, people's ideas will make us better, so the...
Right.
You know, more things people can think of, the more we can do.
Well, on your boat package, your vessel package, fish finder.
Write that one down, boys.
Yeah. How about questions from the community? I mean, it's a pretty awesome subject. Anybody in the community? Sure.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could describe the type of skill sets that you'll be looking for employing in your assembly things, and the types of training opportunities that you'll provide to if we lack those skill sets in this community. Are you going to be able to provide some type of step up for people like that?
Yep. Yeah, that's good. That's a big little emotional talking about it. But yeah, that's the employee first mentality. So we have a strict policy that we hire locally. Well, first of all, we hire up internally first, then locally before you look outside. But yeah, we want to do training, and we want to, I talk about this with Kyle a lot. Really built the prototype system stuff, and we talked about putting into place plans with making sure everyone has to rotate through all the different fields, whether they want them or not, and then they can stick with one or whatever. But we're gonna need people to do pretty much everything. We're gonna need inventory and logistics, and we're gonna need people that can build things. We're gonna need people that can work with Chad on the building and the parts that are outside his scope. We're gonna need people for testing stuff and quality control and
machine operations.
And there's a guy that is gonna be interning with us. It's from Juneau. That he has the PCB design experience, right? Like with Ford. So he left for California first key achievement. Now he's gonna come back, and because of this, we're talking except for what PCB engineers that we're gonna bring in. But there's a lot of ancillary arts there that we need more people. And as far as AI goes, I'm not really into it, honestly, but we think that there's a lot here for people, and people will learn, people to do, and it's a big thing about it. And I think that I think there's going to be a lot of that, and we're not going to outsource it either.
So one of the components of this that we haven't discussed tonight, but is a workforce training program that we're starting in Yakutat. We met with the tribes up there and finding location, a site location for that as well. But it's really bringing people together for a workforce training program through the summer, where there'll be some sort of 3 to 4 week training programs for people with technical skills, entry level to more highly technical skills that Blake does. The idea is to basically have a platform that people who are younger can go to the certification program, get actually certified on real life skill sets that people will want in their communities, and then actually be able to apply it.
Yeah, and that one's younger or not. That one is like, so that one came from, it is independent, but that came from, I just started working in customer stuff. Like, yeah, they call me all the time. No one's going to call me because I lose money for it, but I'll take the calls, do the things. But the things that people are right there on the edge of doing, and it's just always remote community, and they can do all the stuff mechanically, electrically, even. It's just once you get down to the industrial control side, it's outside the scope.
Yeah.
And I keep offering to do a class or something for free, and then they could just not call me. But so that was kind of like, in fact, it was in Wrangell over Thanksgiving. I actually thought of that. It was crazy. I thought of it, and I started being called and all that. Now it's actually going to happen, but it's going to be in Yakutat. And it's time and time again, in these, things that I'm thinking, we're going to and stuff like that, but like in these really remote communities, if they have people that are capable of doing it, and they're always just one step away, instead they wait on someone that's too expensive or whatever, to get out there and do these, to take care of these things. They should be able to take care. They should take care of their own water. They should take care of their own power. They should take care of their own wastewater. It's just like, it's the only field they can. It's just not like that anywhere else. And so, it's not like that everywhere, actually, but like it's extreme here. So that is kind of independent of what we're doing, but that's kind of shows, like, you know, I guess the ethos of this, or what we actually believe. And
can I put a finer point on that too, Blake? So, you know, from what Blake was saying there, it's like part of this, and I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but I want to reemphasize, is that we want to be empowering communities to be doing this work on their crucial infrastructure themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the vision of this company. Yeah. And it's one of the gifts that I think these guys are leaving behind, is that they want to empower the communities around our state specifically, because we're in every part of this, we're thinking about Alaska, right? We're not thinking about other places. We're all from here. And we're thinking about what's not working around the state. And it's the fact that and what's not working also clearly in Blake's personal life. and we're trying to solve for that, right? And it's like, you know, if you're out in remote places, flying somebody to come fix your stuff, who's already got a backlog of 3 or 4 communities he has to go to first, is not reasonable when, like you said, people are just right up at the edge or a couple steps away from being able to do it themselves. And the systems are a couple steps away from being easier, right? And we want to bring those steps to fruition and make this easier for people to work on their systems themselves, the systems that control everything in our world, you know?
Yeah, we have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that actually want to be here. And instead, we're importing people a lot of the time to come work for too much money that you don't want to be here. And that's just crazy. So.
Long answer to your question, sir.
So you're willing to put together a tech program. I imagine that there's going to be a lot of electrical skills needed. And so you're willing to put our kids through some kind of a program for that?
Yep. Yeah. We already began the process to start a nonprofit training program up in Yakutat in partnership with the community there.
This will be further than that, in order to think that this, you know, for what our needs here at the assembly and manufacturing, we need special skills for that. And this is better, that it just makes sense economically and financially, as well as it's needed. But we will set up programs where we have people that want to be there, want to be working, they get skills to do that.
Any other questions? Yes, Assemblymember DeBoard.
I'd just like to say I really value your vision here. It's really kind of a unique thing, especially talking about like healthcare for everyone and childcare for everything. You know, it doesn't really exist anywhere. The prioritization of Southeast Alaskans. You know, like 3 or 4 years ago, this body really, we had no idea what we were going to do, but we had to do something different.
Yeah.
And it's really nice 3 years later, 4 years later, to kind of sit here in this group and kind of see that come to fruition here. So just want to say thank you for picking us and not Petersburg.
Your facility won't use that much electricity, correct?
It's not. I mean,
it's not a draw.
I've been, you know, done load counts or anything or whatever, but it's not. It's not really a heavy draw.
Heavy user.
No, I mean, especially assembly and then even manufacturing is really. I mean, we're not manufacturing, you know, big equipment. This is small. It overpriced things, and they're overpriced because that's what the industry did.
Right.
And so
the market, yeah,
went with it. We'll be outside the totem asking for beer money, though. Whether you go with us or not.
And I don't want to get off the subject too much, but there is a misconception about the data center. It did what was going to draw 1.5-2 megawatts of power. We split, Petersburg and Wrangell split the power coming from Tyee. So what we don't use, if we don't have a load that calls for that power, and Petersburg does, they get 10 to 20% sometimes more usage out of Tyee. It's not an even split. And anything, the remainder of Tyee will go to Ketchikan. that power will go to Ketchikan. So I it's one of my concerns that Wrangell gets sort of squeezed from the two big players, Petersburg and Ketchikan, if we don't have a good demand of 50% demand of that power from Taiyi, our hydropower. And the one good thing that the data center would have guaranteed was a consistent usage of that power, which the revenue would go to our utility, our electric utility. That would help us pay for the refurbishing of our generators and perhaps take the fuel surcharge off of the ratepayers' back when SEPA goes on either a week or 10-day maintenance period, and we go on generators. Yeah. But that won't affect you at all. So I do miss that revenue coming to the utility, but we'll just diversify even more. And
we can think of ways to use more electricity.
Yeah. And you said 20,000 square feet of manufacturing space.
I think that's the initial. Yeah. Look at the assembly manufacturing, and then that'll the hope and potential is that expands fairly rapidly.
Great.
Olivia, did you have a question?
I was going to say, well, if they're planning on providing all these jobs, more jobs, meaning more people living here, meaning more houses, and then we won't have a problem with electricity.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'll throw more music festivals.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm working on volume. The assembly's working on volume. That's good. But we've got cheap property millage rates. We've got cheap electricity. We're a very good choice. And it's a unique opportunity for Wrangell. I am so excited that you are even considering Wrangell.
There's no other choice.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Well, I want to thank the structure team for making their way to Wrangell, and Chad McGraw and Josh Hunter for being here, and the work that they've done on the treatment plant. It's a bit pretty big testament. I'm gonna kick it over to Chad. I know you probably don't want to speak, but like, you know, Chad owns one of the largest construction outfits in Southeast Alaska. It makes, you know, it's a pretty big testament that he's here. So Chad, why don't you describe, you know, why you're here?
He's just here for the night from Hawaii.
And how was it working with this group, Chad?
It's long flight in.
The city of Wrangell has always been amazing. So I said, for me, it's, you know, building my first project ever was the first water treatment plant in 1997. And just being in SCADA for 30 years of my life and understanding how complicated it was, and just the vision that Blake had a year and a half ago, I saw the value in what that meant to the industry as a whole and to end users. And I've been on board with the concept ever since he brought it to me. And I'm a huge supporter of these guys and a partner. And you know, obviously we're really good friends, but you know, I think he's come up with something that is extremely unique for Southeast Alaska. I mean, I'm a fifth generation born in Southeast Alaska, and we've been in construction the entire time, and to see an industry come like this, that's tourism is really all Southeast Alaska has anymore. Fishing is dying, you know, timber's gone. Economic development is what every Southeast community is struggling for. And the value added product that these guys are bringing to the table and presenting is something that we've never seen in this industry. And a lot of times, shipping costs are what prevent people coming to our communities because it costs too much to ship out of Alaska, so the price of the goods. But with what these guys are bringing to the table, it's a component market that the margins are such and the weight of everything is so low that the shipping costs don't make it an uncompetitive product to compete in the global marketplace. So it's, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. Obviously, there's still a lot of work to do, but these guys, like, gotten it a long ways, and I'm super excited to be part of what these guys are doing.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you very much.
Well, again, thank you everybody for coming tonight. There'll be a lot more conversation. This is kind of, you know, tonight's assembly meeting will be the real first action on getting a memorandum of understanding underway. And then the partnership will be live for real. And we'll be getting to work with structure on next plans. So I'd imagine these guys are going to stick around a little bit. So if you have any questions you want to ask in the group, because it's complicated stuff in some cases, feel free to ask them, or you can give Blake some beer money at the bar later.
And it went under.
And if they want to come up and take a closer look at the comms ball, please feel free.
Yeah,
feel free to come check it out.
Also, before I adjourn the work session, I'm going to, with the assembly's approval, move up the MOU right after persons to be heard. And so, or right after consent agenda, probably. And so if you have any questions, you could ask them during persons to be heard, and we'll make sure you get your answers to those.
Awesome.
All right, let's adjourn for 10 minutes. We'll start a regular.